Hello. My name is Femke Snelting, and what I'm going to talk to you about is something that comes from a book that I'm currently preparing together with Jarocha. So at any time you can find the link to the book in the making in the text that's also provided for you. The book started from asking a very, at the same time, modest and enormous question, which was, what is going on with 3D? And that question was initially provoked by an intuitive concern with how 3D scanning, tracking, and modeling seem to thrive with normative renderings of race, gender, class, species, age, and ability. So, to ask such a question is urgent, we think, because the technologies and infrastructures of volumetrics are proliferating everywhere. So, here we go. The industrial continuum of 3D. Whether it's cultural heritage, archaeological sites, or the natural world, his personal mission is to build technologies that help explore the world and the disappearing things around us. The engineer and entrepreneur aims an arsenal of synchronized cameras at a caged rhinoceros and explains, "In the end, you will be able to stand next to the rhino. Look into the animal's eyes, and this creates an emotional connection that is beyond what you can get from a flat video or photograph. The ultimate application will be to bring the rhino to everyone." So, what you're seeing are fragments and stills from a video uploaded by National Geographic, and it's called "The Rhino in the Room." 3D scan brings near extinct Sumatran species to virtual life. And it features Ang and Corey Jaskolski. 3D scanning a specimen of the near extinct Sumatran rhinoceros as an act of conservation turns the sixth extinction into a spectacle itself. As a last-minute techno fix, it renders the ultimate application available for everyone at home, but the chain of operations it participates in technically contributes to extinction itself. Capturing the rhinoceros evidently depends on partakers such as mineral extraction and the consumption of turbo computing, but also continues to trust in the control over time by techno solutionist means such as volumetric capture and reanimation. The industrial continuum of 3D can be observed when volumetric techniques and technologies flow between industries such as biomedical imaging, wildlife conservation, border patrol, toning, and Hollywood computer graphics. The fluency of this social technical phenomenon is based on intricate paradox. Even if the continuum moves smoothly between distinct, different, or mutually exclusive fields of application, it leaves very little space for radical experiments and surprise combinations. As an input to this panel, I, or we, I mean, I'm speaking in a double voice, would like to ask how such consistent controversy is established. But more importantly, we wanted to contribute with a list of possible techniques, paradigms, and procedures for computing otherwise, wondering which other worldings might be imagined. We named the continuum of 3D industrial because its flows are powered by patriarchal colonial capital extraction. Think. the possible continuums of 3D. The industrial continuum of 3D settles and flows in particular ways, making its self-fulfilling moves produce increasingly normed worlds that are continued along the axis of the probable. What other forms of volumetric continuation, of circulation and settlement, might be quite possible as a way to world differently? What other forms of volumetric continuation, of circulation and settlement, might be quite possible as a way to world differently? We'll need to reorient 3D from a transfeminist perspective and move obliquely towards 3D that can go otherwise. Could an ethics and politics committed to volumetric complexity emerge from reverse engineering the ebbs and flows of industrial affection? Our first task is to rescue the desire for continuity from the claws of the established, the normed, and the modern. Against the unbearable persistence of 3D, discontinuity, latency, and unsettlement are only evident counterforces as long as they engage with resisting what 3D settles by flow. Not any form of circulation or continuity counts as problematic, but particular forms that confirm sameness and alignment with neoliberal accumulation, colonial commercial norms, and one directionality. An affirmative volumetric does not reject or dismiss the power of volumetrics as a whole, or gives up on continuity altogether either. As Donna Haraway asked in conversation with Kathy Wolfe, how can we truly learn to compose rather than decry or impose? So this is why we compiled a list of proposals which are each nothing short of a radical shift in how we approach matter and form. So this is Denise Ferreira da Silva. What is important to keep in mind is that none of these are in fact impossible to implement. So here we go. Remediating Cartesian anxiety. What if we decide to use 6 instead of 4 axes, 12 instead of 3, or 0 instead of n? What if we take time to get used to multiple paradigms for orientation instead of settling for only one regime? Letting go of the finite coordinates of x, y, z, and t for time could be a first step to break with the convenient reductions of parallel and perpendicular assumptions. Its implementations might require rigorous inventions with a transdisciplinary attitude, but if what is at stake is to reorient volumetrics for non-coercive usage, we can afford them, right? Paranodes to ever polygonal worlds. By paying attention to the paranodal in ever polygonal worlds, the simplistic dominance of node centricity might quickly shift to entirely different topological articulations. This would allow other imaginations of relationality, this time not along the vectors of sameness and similarity, but emerging from the undefined materiality of what's there and what was underrepresented by extra planar projections. If the distance between not to be crossed quickly and straight, but allowed for curves, meanders, and loops, then a whole technoscience of dissimilarity and surprise collinearity would emerge.